Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Beis, and we will begin on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. The last words, Rabbi Yossi Yom Yontif. Rabbi Yossi taught us that if the first day of Sukkot came out on Shabbos and somebody accidentally carried the lulav into the Rishus Rabbim, he's not chayiv a karban chatas because he carried Rishus, he carried with permission. And as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, he was bohol, he was preoccupied with doing a mitzvah. And since he was preoccupied with doing a mitzvah, that's why he is exempt from being a karban chatas. Says Abaya, Amar Abaya, Lo shanu el shlo yotzeba. This was only said if he was not yet mekayim the mitzvah of lulav. So since he's preoccupied, he's not chayiv karban chatas. If he already was mekayim the mitzvah of lulav, so he doesn't have the heter of bohol, and he will be chayiv if he carries out the lulav on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, hamid agbei nafik bei. The moment he picked up the lulav, he has mekayim the mitzvah of dalaminim. So in every situation when one is carrying out the lulav on Shabbos, it's no longer a situation that he's in the middle of doing a mitzvah, and that preoccupation is what exempts him from the karban chatas. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya kishahafchay. We're dealing with a case where he picked up the lulav upside down, and that's how he carried it out. And since he carried it out in an upside down fashion, that's why he has not yet done the mitzvah, because as we learned, you only mekayim the mitzvah when you hold the lulav the way it grows up with the top on top. Others explain, the Rabbeinu Chananel explains, kishahafchoy is that he carried it out in the right, he carried it out in the left hand instead of the right hand, and you're not mekayim the mitzvah unless you carry it in the hand that you're supposed to, that you normally hold, which is the right hand. Most mefarshim disagree with that approach. The Mikroi Koida says that we hold that b'di'evit, if one, even if carried the mitzvah of dalminim by holding the lulav in the left hand, has been mekayim the mitzvah. Rav Amma, afilo shetayim shloi hafcha. The Gemara could be explained even in a situation where he did not carry the lulav upside down. Hachav ma'iskinen kigon shetzia bekeli. He carried the lulav out in a vessel, and therefore, since he didn't carry it by holding it directly, he's not chayiv. Ask the Gemara, v'rava u da'am l'kicha d'avar achashma l'kicha. Rava's the man d'am that said that if you held the lulav in a scarf, you didn't hold the dalaminim directly in your hand, it's still considered as if you were mekayim the mitzvah. Answers the Gemara, hani mili, when did Rava say that carrying out the lulav, but even if you're not holding it directly, you're mekayim the mitzvah? That's only when you did it derech covered in a respectable manner. Ava derech b'zoyin, to carry out the lulav by just holding it in a box, loy, even Rava will agree that that is not the way one is mekayim the mitzvah. The Mefarshim and the Rishonim ask that according to this explanation, that he carried the lulav out in a box, why is he not chayiv for holding the box? So the Rishonim answer, just like the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos teaches us the shiurim, the measurements for the various different items to be carried on Shabbos. And if you carried less than that shiur, you're not chayiv. And the Gemara says that, let's say you carried something in a vessel, but what you carried in the vessel is less than the shear. Let's say you carried a piece of food, less than the shear for carrying that food, you're not chayiv. So, what? And then says the Gemara, you're not chayiv either for carrying the keli in which that small amount is, because the keli becomes bottle, it becomes secondary to the actual item being carried. Here too, the utensil is a bottle to the dalaminim, so therefore you're not chayiv for carrying the utensil either. Rabbi Kiva Eger asks a kasha on this Gemara. The Gemara asks, Hamid Agbei Afikbai, that the moment you picked it up, you're Mekayim the mitzvah. So, after, when you carry it out, you should be chayiv for carrying on Shabbos, you're no longer preoccupied with a mitzvah. Ask Rabbi Kiva Eger, the first Mishnah we learned in Masechet Shabbos taught us that to be chayiv on Shabbos for carrying, you have to have an akira v'hanocha, an action of lifting up and an action of putting down. Here, when the person picked up the dalam minim, that akira, he was preoccupied with doing a mitzvah. So even if afterwards he's no longer preoccupied with a mitzvah, because he's already been mekayim the mitzvah the moment he picked up the dalam minim, we don't have here an akira and an anocha, because the akira was a permitted akira. So why does the Gemara have a kasha? Rabbi Kiva Eger says, Hashem yar enei. Rabbi Kiva Eger doesn't have an answer to this question. Have the Mefarshim attempt to answer Rabbi Kiva Eger's question. Doruch Ner answers that the akira that the Gemara wants to assume the person has here to be chayiv for carrying the Shabbos is not the original akira when he picks up the lulav, because that akira is an akira of l'dvar mitzvah. It's the akira of his own body as he walks out from his home to the Rishus HaRabim, where at that point, says the Aruch Haner, he already has been, the Gemara in the Havamina assumes that he's already been mekayim the mitzvah. And that is a new akira, him walking from inside his house to outside his house. Drushash answers Rabbi Kiva Eger's kasha that the akira for b'mekayim mitzvah dalam minim is the moment he picks up the dalam minim, because to b'mekayim mitzvah dalam minim, all you have to do is just hold them in your hand. However, the akira for Shabbos, to be considered an akira for carrying for Hilchus Shabbos, is only when the item is three tefachim lifted. So the akira for Shabbos, at that point, you already mekayim the mitzvah lulav, which came at the initial akira. Sasemis says a different teretz. It says a very big chiddush. The Sasemis says that since in this situation, although the akira, as far as Hilchus Shabbos is concerned, might not have been a akira to be mechayiv, because he was preoccupied with a mitzvah, still says the Sfasemis, since the hanocha is a full-fledged hanocha for which one is chayiv Shabbos, that, so to speak, says the Sfasemis, reactivates that the akira, which on its own probably was permitted, because he was preoccupied with a mitzvah, should be considered an akira that's osur for Hilchus Shabbos. And the Sfas Emes uses this approach to explain an answer to a different question. The Farshim asked, why doesn't the Gemara answer that the person who made this akira made that akira before daybreak, which at that point, that akira, he has not been mekayim yet the mitzvah of Netilas Dalam Minim, because Dalam Minim could only be taken during the day, and he held them in his hand the entire time from before daybreak through when the day began, which under those circumstances he will have done the entire, it will not have a situation of Mida'agbei for when he picked it up, Nofetbei, he has been Mekayim the mitzvah, because when he picked it up, he was not mekayim the mitzvah as before day, says the Sfasemis, according to his reasoning, that again, even though that point akira will have been an acceptable akira, since ultimately the hanocha will be a hanocha that is osur, that will activate that the akira also will be an akira shel isur. However, the Chasam Sofer says that the fact that our Gemara did not give that teretz, that our Gemara did not explain that hod mid agbei nafikbei, when the Gemara asked, as soon as he picked it up, he was mekayim the mitzvah, why don't we explain that he picked it up before the day began, and he held it until day began, and therefore he has not he has not been mekayim the mitzvah from the moment he picked it up. Says the Chasam Sofer, because that would be an unacceptable way of taking the Dal Minim. The Chasam Sofer explains that the requirement is that the lula be picked up, v'lakachtem lachem, it should be taken properly. Here, when it was taken, when it was picked up, it was before day. Under such circumstances, the person would have to put down the Dal Minim and then pick them up again once they started. And therefore, the Gemara cannot give this teretz. Tosfos points out that the Gemara obviously holds that mitzvahs ain't tzriches kavana, that you don't have to have kavana to be mekayim a mitzvah. Because if you would have to have kavana to mekayim a mitzvah, why does the Gemara just say a simple answer? That when he picked it up, he did not have in mind yet to be mekayim the mitzvah. He only picked it up, as the Rishonim explained, to take it, to learn how to do the Nanuim, but he has not been mekayim the mitzvah yet. The fact that the Gemara doesn't give that teretz is a proof that mitzvahs ain't tzriches kavana, and the moment he picks it up, he's mekayim the mitzvah. And in fact, the Tosfos Yontif says that that's the reason that the Rambam doesn't quote this Gemara. The Rambam, when he brings down this Gemara, doesn't bring down Abaye and Rav's qualifications of Rav Yosef's din. Because the Rambam holds mitzvahs tzriches kavana. So since the Rambam holds mitzvahs tzriches kavana, so the person picking it up, you can't say Hamid Agbei Nafik Bey. He has not been Mekayim the mitzvah, because he didn't intend yet to be Mekayim the mitzvah, and according to Rambam, mitzvahs tzriches kavana. The Kabbalist Tamarim has a different explanation on how to understand the Rambam. The Kabbalist Tamarim explains that the Rambam holds that one has not been Mekayim the mitzvah until he does the Nanuim, which we'll have a proof to that contention in a moment. So since he has not yet been Mekayim the mitzvah until he does the Nanuim, which will happen later, we can't say Hamid Agbei Nafik Bey. The Yireim has a very interesting answer to Tosfos. He says that if we hold mitzvah sriches kavana, and this person picked it up without the intention of being mekayim the mitzvah, so it says the Yireim, he'll be chayiv. Because what's our entire heter, says the Yireim? What's Reb Yosef's entire heter? Because he's bohol, he's torud, he's preoccupied with a mitzvah. But if the person doesn't intend to be mekayim a mitzvah, he's not preoccupied with a mitzvah. If he's not preoccupied with a mitzvah, then we don't have Rav Yosef's heter. That's why the Gemara couldn't say that he didn't have kavana. Because if he didn't have kavana, he wasn't being mekayim a mitzvah. If he wasn't being mekayim a mitzvah, Rav Yosef's entire premise would not be relevant. So the Gemara now will continue discussing this concept of Tor B'Dvar Mitzvah, which is a concept we find in Shas, that if somebody is preoccupied with doing a mitzvah, he's potter. There's Machloikis, Rav Kiv Eger, and Achiezer, why is such a person potter from a Karmen Chattis? Rav Kiv Eger says, because such a person is in the category of an Oynes, not a Shoyig, and only a Shoyig is Chayiv Karmen Chattis, not an Oynes. Achiezer explains that even if we'll consider him a Shoyig, only under certain circumstances of Shoyig did the Torah say there's a Chayiv Karmen Chattis, not in the circumstance of Tor B'Dvar Mitzvah. So Amar Huna, Amar Hay Reb Yosi, Oilus Ha'oif Shenimtzu Bena Gafayim. If you have an Oilus Ha'oif that was found between other birds that were carbon chattis, V'ksava chattis ha'oifu v'achloi, and he therefore thought it was not an Oilus Ha'oif, but rather it was a chattis ha'oif and ate it, potter. So as the Rashi explains, there are two types of bird carbonis. There's an Oilus Ha'oif and there's a chattis ha'oif. An oilus oif, as all carbon oilus, may not be eaten. A chattis, as all carbon chattis, are eaten. The carbon oif, when it's a bird brought, it's slaughtered through malika. However, there's the place where the chattis oif is slaughtered is different from the place where the oilus oif is slaughtered. The chattis oif is slaughtered on the bottom of the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. The Oilus Ha'oif was slaughtered at the top of the southeast corner. However, if there was a lot of Kabana Oif brought. So the Chatas, the Oilus Oif, at times could also be brought on the top of the southwest corner when we had many birds being brought. And that's the situation Rav Huna is referring to. There were a lot of carbon Chatas Oilus Oif being brought on the top of the southwest corner, and that's how there was a mix-up and a Oilus Oif got mixed up with a Chatas Oif, and the person, the Kohen, ate it assuming it was a Chatas when it was really an Oila. The Kabbas Tamarim asks that isn't there a din that a Chatas Oif, the head is not completely severed from the body, whereas by an Oilus Oif it is severed, so shouldn't that have been a way for the Kohen to discern the difference? Says the Kabbas Tamarim that the halacha is that when doing the Malika by Chatas Oif we don't sever the head, and by the Oilus Oif we do sever it. But the halacha is that after the Malika is done, after the original Malika is done, the head of the Chatas Oif may be taken off. And that's what happened here. So the question here is, as Rashi explains, will the person be chayiv, will this kohen be chayiv a carbon me'ilah for eating a Oilus Oif? Says the Gemara, since Rabbi Yossi taught us that Tabit Var Mitzvah, if one is preoccupied with a mitzvah, he's potter, this person is a Tabit Var Mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, my Kamashmon, what's Rav Huna teaching us? The Tabit Var Mitzvah potter, that somebody who's preoccupied with a mitzvah is potter? Hainu Hach, isn't that the din that Rabbi Yossi taught us in our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Manatema, Hosum who the Tabit Var Mitzvah potter, then the situation of our Mishnah, Tabit Var Mitzvah's potter, Hani David Mitzvah, because as a result of his carrying the Dalam Minim, he was Mekayim the Mitzvah. He went to the expert to learn how to carry, how to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, and now he does it properly. Aval Hocha, in this case, the Tabit Var Mitzvah, Loyavid Mitzvah, he did not accomplish any real Mitzvah. A Maloy, I would say that Rabbi Yossi did not say his din, and he will not be potter from a carbon milah, kamash malon, that since he was preoccupied in doing a mitzvah, and as Tosfos explains, he was concerned that it should not, that the chatas oif should not become noiser, and therefore he is potter. Tosfos has a different approach, that by dalim minim, it's a mitzvah deramiyale. It's a mitzvah that he's obligated to accomplish. That's why we might have assumed that the concept of tov bad mitzvah is relevant. But in the situation of the carbon, where it's not this specific kohen's obligation to eat this carbon, maybe the concept of tov bad mitzvah should not be applied, kamash malam, that it is. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi teaches us in a Braisa, Hashoich Eres HaTomich Enem Avukah Kilchosa B'Shabbos, if somebody shechs a carbon tomid that isn't properly examined on Shabbos, where the halacha is that all carbonis had to be examined 4 days before they were brought, and the proof, the source for this is, that was the halacha by the carbon Pesach in Mitzrayim, where they had to examine and prepare the animals 4 days before chayiv chatas. The person is chayiv chatas for doing this. V'tzorich tamid acher, and he has to bring a different carbon tamid for that day's tamid obligation, because only a carbon that only an animal that was properly examined is considered acceptable. Ask the Gemara, this person was a Tabit Var Mitzvah. He was occupied with doing the mitzvah, bringing the carbon tamid. So why should we chayiv for chil Shabbos? Amalei, bar minei medehi. You can't bring a proof from that braisa. Ditmala, Amar Shmuel bar Chitoy, Amar Rav Huna Sava, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Ashin, Amar Rav Huna Marav, kigoin sheheviu malishka sheinim v'karin. That since he brought this animal from the place, from the chamber where animals that weren't examined were kept, he had no heter to go to that area. So that can't be considered a Tabit Va'mitzah. A Tabit Va'mitzah is only relevant, it says the Gemara, where the person is in a place where he's supposed to be. But here he was in an area where he had no reason to be there, the concept of Tabit Va'mitzah will not be acceptable. And the Meiri explains, why are we so insistent on checking the animals before? Because, says the Meiri, once the animal is slaughtered, many of the defects, many of the mumim that could possibly disqualify an animal are no longer discernible. There's a machlokes rishonim. What is the definition of enam mevukarim? Some rishonim say enam mevukarim means that they did not go through the full-fledged process of bikur, which requires 4 days. Other rishonim say the enam mevukarim is even if it's 1 day, even if it's one bikur, as long as it had some bikur, that's already considered mevukar. The Masham asks Akasha. He says, in the previous year, we discussed how it could be that the Meis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach, would be inaugurated on the 16th day of Nisan. And the Gemara explained that the Beis HaMikdash might have been built right at the end of the 15th day of Nisan, or at the night at the beginning of 16th day of Nisan, and the Kabbanos are brought the next day. Asks the Masham, but our Gemara is saying now that in order for a carbon to be accepted, the animal had to be examined for days in advance. Here, nobody was examining animals because there was no Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, as Rashi and Tosfos explained, just came down in a Shemayim on the 16th of Nisan. Says the Masham Achidish, that when is there an obligation to examine the animal? That's only when we have a Beis HaMikdash and we know that we're going to be bringing Kabbonis. That's when there's a din that we have to bring Kabbonis strictly from animals that have been properly examined. But, says the Masham, when there is no Beis HaMikdash and there is no reason to have animals prepared for examination, then there is no din of Bikur. Says the Mishnah, Mekabelos ishim yad benom yad bala, an ishi could take the lulav from the hand of a son or a husband, umachziro lamayim b'shabbos, and put it into water on Shabbos, that in order that it should remain fresh. So the Rishonim point out that this din obviously is not relevant nowadays, because as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, we don't take the dalaminim on Shabbos, and once we don't take the dalaminim on Shabbos, we have no right to handle them. But our Mishnah is referring to the time when they did take the dalaminim, and there's no issue of watering a plant on Shabbos and putting it into the water. There's an interesting Ramah. The Ramah paskins in Hilchos Shabbos that one on Shabbos may place flowers into water, provided that that the flowers are not flowers that could open up, that they don't have buds. But if the flowers that don't open up, he may place them into water on Shabbos. Asks the Mefarshim on Durma. Our Mishnah is saying that a person is allowed to put the lulav into the water back on Shabbos. But says Rabbi Yehuda, b'Shabbos machzirim, we only could put it back into the water, not put it into new water in the first place. And b'yontif, on yontif we could add water, or b'mayid, on chalamayid, we could even machlif and change the water. And not only can we change the water, the Rishonim and the Paiskim can say we should change the water to keep the dalaminim fresh. In fact, the Ramah says one should buy new aravis every day to keep and have fresh aravis. But here we're seeing that only putting water it back into the water is permitted on Shabbos, not taking something that wasn't in water and putting it there originally on Shabbos. So the Chaya Adam explains that when the Ramah says that something may be put into water on Shabbos, that's exactly what he means. He means that it was in the water before and it could be returned to the water. However, most Paiskim say that the Ramah is referring to a situation even where it wasn't in the water previously. And the question is why. So the Kapos Tamarim explains, it's basically a Rashba, that the case of the lulav is different than flour. By putting flowers into a vase with water on Shabbos, it adds noi, it adds beauty to the home. And therefore one may put it into the water even if it wasn't in water previously on Shabbos. The lulav being put into water doesn't add beauty to the home, and therefore it may only be put into the water if it was there previously. Although there are Achroinim, the Prima Godim, that learn that even in our Gemara, even in our Mishnah, one may put the lulav into water on Shabbos even if it wasn't there previously. But that's not the way the Rashi or the simple Peshat in the Mishnah seems to be. The Shulchan Aruch Rav has a different explanation of the Ramah. He says that the Ramah is referring to a situation where even though the flour that he's putting into the water on Shabbos wasn't in the water before Shabbos, the water was prepared already before Shabbos, and then one would be allowed to put it into the water on Shabbos. Katan hayadeya lenaneya, a child who knows how to wave the lulav, chayiv belulav is obligated in mitzvah lulav. And the Meroim Soda explains that even though nanuim are not an essential part of the mitzvah, one is mekayim the mitzvah of dalaminim as soon as he takes the dalaminim, explains the Meroim Soda that when we are mechayiv a child to do a mitzvah, when we say a child is already of age to do a mitzvah, he has to be able to do the mitzvah b'shleimus, perfectly. Certainly doing the mitzvah of dalaminim b'shleimus includes nanuim, and therefore the child who can't do nanuim is not obligated in the mitzvah of lulav. The Brisker Rav has a different approach. The Brisker Rav holds that nanuim are an essential part of the mitzvah of dalaminim, and therefore any child who is unable to do nanuim is not obligated to do them. Ask the Gemara Pshita. It's obvious that a woman could take the lulav from her husband or son and put it into the water. Why would I think otherwise? Answers the Gemara, Madatema, Hoyel v'ishala baschiyuvi. Since a woman is not obligated to take a lulav, she should not be the one to take the lulav, because for her it's muksa. Kamash malon, that's why the Tana teaches us that it's not muksa for her, and she could thus take the lulav and put it into the water. So the Or Zeruah says it seems from the way we just explained the Gemara, which was based on the way Rashi explained the Gemara, that the reason a woman is allowed to carry it is because since it's not muksa for a husband or a son, so it's not muksa for her either. Says the Or Zeruah, why can't the Gemara have said, because the Isha could take the lulav because she wants to mekayim the mitzvah dalaminim? Says the Or Zeruah, from here we see, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that a woman who's exempt from a mitzvah, the mitzvah of lulav, being a mitzvah sasei shazman groma, has no ability to be mekayim the mitzvah. Rabbeinu Tam, we know, disagrees. That's the way the Ramah paskins. And Rabbeinu Tam says that a woman, even if she's exempt midrash from a mitzvah, can do the mitzvah and can even make a bracha. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam explains the Gemara that it's dealing with a situation that since she could take it to be mekayim the mitzvah, that's why for her it's not muksa either. The Shara Melech, based on this Gemara, speaks about a very interesting shaila. He says that let's say someone doesn't smoke on Yom Tov. He doesn't smoke, he doesn't use a pipe. That's the shaila he discusses. So he doesn't smoke on Yom Tov, but there's someone else that does. That will he be allowed to carry someone else's pipe? Says the Shara Melech, that perhaps, since for him it's muksa, maybe it should be muksa he won't use his own pipe, he shouldn't be allowed to carry someone else's pipe. On the other hand, from our Gemara, we were saying, based on the way Rashi explains, that even though the lulav should be muksa for the woman, because she has no need to take it, once it's not muksa for the husband, it's not muksa for her either. So we see from here, says the Shar Melech, that even though I may not use the item, if somebody else is using the item, it's not considered muksa anymore. Tan Rabban, katan hayudeya lenaneya, a child who knows how to wave the dalminim, chai belulav. Lis atef, a child who knows how to put on a tzitzis, chai betzitzis. Lishma tefillin, he knows how to properly guard the kedusha of tefillin. Aviv lekeich le tefillin, his father buys for him tefillin. Yedeya ledaber, once the child is old enough to speak. Aviv lambe toiru krishma, his father teaches him tefillin, and father teaches him toiru and krishma. The Ramah says that lishma tefillin, that once a child is old enough to watch tefillin, his father should buy for him tefillin. It's only at the age of 13, not before 13, even if it's a child that we know may be able to watch the tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah does quote a Bach that says that a child maybe 2 or 3 months before the age of 13, his parents, his father could buy him tefillin because he's old enough to start being trained and wear the tefillin for when he's bar mitzvah. The Mefarshim point out that there's a change in language in our Gemara. By the lulav and by the tzitzis, it says that the child should do the mitzvah lulav or the mitzvah tzitzis when he's old enough. By tefillin, the Bryce is saying the father has to buy him tefillin. Why is there a difference? So the Aruch Lener points out that the Rishonim give two different reasons. Because by tzitzis, he probably already has a garment that tzitzis could be put on. And by lulav, he could rely on his father's lulav. However, with tefillin, he needs his own tefillin. You have to wear tefillin every day. Another reason, says the Aruch Lener, is because lulav, tzitzis are inexpensive. So the Gemara doesn't explain explicitly that one has to buy him. Of course we'll buy it for him. But tefillin, which are expensive, one would think one has to, the Bryce has to explain explicitly that the father should buy. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina between these two terutzim, points out the Aruch Lener, is if the father is supposed to buy his child the dalan minim. According to the first answer, the father doesn't have to buy the child dalan minim. The child can rely on the father's. According to the second answer, the father's supposed to buy also dalan minim for the child. It's interesting to note that the Shulchan Aruch, when it brings down the halach of our Mishnah, it says that when the child is old enough to be menaneh aluluf, to leave the luluf, the father should purchase a lulav for him. So the Taz explains that the Shulchan Aruch means that since the Nanuim have to also be done during Hallel, so if the child is going to rely on the father's lulav, so the father needs the lulav for himself when he does the Nanuim, that's why he should buy a lulav for the child. Daruch Lener says that the Shulchan Aruch is going according to the second explanation that we gave in the Gemara. That the Gemara also meant that the child should be bought a lulav, just the Gemara didn't explicitly say it because it's not an expensive item. However, there are other achroinim that give a different explanation of the Shulchan Aruch. We explained many times that there's an obligation that the dalam minim be lochem, that they be owned by the person who's being mekayim the mitzvah. We also said that many Rishonim say that din of lechem doesn't just in chutz laretz doesn't just apply to the first day of Yontif, it also applies to the second day of Yontif, because we treat the second day like the first day. We also explained in the previous year that when one gives someone else his lulav, he gives it to him with a matana manas la'achzer. But that isn't possible by a child, because a child can receive a gift, but he's not able to give it back. So that's Pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is speaking in Chutz Laretz. In Chutz Laretz, the father has to buy the child the Dalaminim, because he can't take the Dalaminim himself and then give it to the child for a Matanam Nas Lachzer, because that doesn't work by a child. Now the second day of Yontav will come, and the second day of Yontav, the father who needs Dalaminim, which are Lechem, which are his, he doesn't have Dalaminim, which are Lechem. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says there is no other option but to buy the child Dalaminim, which is the way many Paiskim say. Ramosha says in the Gris Moshe is the proper thing to do. How will the other Rishonim explain this Gemara? They're going to say that the child will be mekayim the mitzvah with shol. That if you don't buy the child the Dalaminim, you should lend the Dalaminim to the child. And once you lend it to him, it doesn't become, there is no longer a problem. It's still yours. It's still lochem. And you'll be able to use it the second day. There is a problem with that approach that Chroyim discussed, because the halacha is that we want a child to be mekayim the mitzvah. We want it to be mekayim the mitzvah perfectly. And shol, as we learned, is not the way to be mekayim the mitzvah dalaminim. So why would that be an acceptable approach? The Gemara continues. Taira mahi. What is meant that we teach the child taira? Amar afuna taira tzivul on a moshe marash kil shakai. We teach him that pasuk. Krishma mahi. And what does it mean when we teach him krishma? We teach him the pasuk rishon. And as the Gra explains that when we're teaching the child Krishma, we're not teaching him to teach him to be mekayim the mitzvah Krishma, because as the Gemara Masech the Brachas explains, says the Gra, a child has to be older to already be mekayim in mitzvah Krishma, because there are zmanim and there are halachas involved in mitzvah Krishma. What the Gemara means, says the Gra, is that part of the child's chinuch in Torah are these two psukim. One is Torah Tzivalon of Moshe Marosha Kilos Yaakov. The Torah belongs to Kilos Yaakov, to all of Klal Yisrael. Every Jew is obligated to learn Torah and Krishma, the basics of Amuna. And Rav Huttner explains this in a very deep manner. He says that when a child is young, he isn't able to start delving and thinking very deeply. We teach him Krishma. We teach him Krishma on the simplest manner, on the lowest level. A child has to understand Amuna Pshuta, and that Amuna Pshuta that the child receives in a chinuch from his parents when he's young remains for him for the rest of his life. Hayidei Lishma Gufay, if a child is old enough to know to watch his body from becoming tamei, as the Gemara explains, there are two levels. There's a level of watching one's body, and there's a level of watching one's hands. When the child is old enough to watch his body, oichlan gufa taharis, we could eat on his say-so, taharis that came in contact with his body, that he says did not become tamei. And the Ram points out, from here we see that a child has namonis, that even though the child is below bar mitzvah, he has namonis, he can be trusted. When he says that he has guarded his body, and whatever came in contact with his body did not become tamei. Lishmas Yodov, when he's old enough and he says that he guarded his hands, Oichan Yodov Taharis, we could eat Taharis that came in contact with his hands. Hayidei Lisha, if he's old enough to be asked if he contacted Tumah, the halacha is, as we learned from Saita, that a Tzofik Tumah Rishus HaYachid is Tumah. A Tzofik Tumah Rishus HaRabim is Tahar. So when the child is old enough to be asked, Rishus HaYachid Sveika Tumah, if the question came up in Rosh Hashanah and there's a doubt, he'll be Tomei, and Rosh Hashanah will be Tar. The Mefarshim explain, if he's not old enough, then it always will be Tar. Hayidei Lifras Kapov, if the child is old enough that he knows how to Duchen, Cholken Lai Tumrum Rebbe Beis Agronis, then we give him Truma in the warehouse where we give out the Truma. There's a Machloikis Rashi and Tosfos how to explain this Gemara. Rashi explains that we're dealing with a child that's already by mitzvah, and under those circumstances we let him duchen, and that's also when we give him truma in the warehouse. When he's younger, we don't let him duchen, and we only give him truma in his own home. Tosfos is speaking, says that we're dealing with a child. The child is already old enough to understand any kedushin, and when he's that old, we give him truma in the warehouse. But Tosfos does agree that we would not allow just a group of children to duchen. We would need an entire, at least one gadol amongst the group. Hayudei lishchait, a child that's old enough to know how to shecht, oichlam shechitasai, we could eat from what he shechted. And Tosfos explains that the child has to have the ability and the dexterity to shecht. And then, Rav Huna, if there's a gadol watching him, then that child could shecht, because the gadol will watch that he's been kaimed all the halachas. But if he doesn't have the proper dexterity and ability, he would never be allowed to shecht. Yoch lechel kezayis dagen, if the child is old enough to eat a kezayis of grain, his soya and his urine, it's considered soya me reglaim, the one cannot daven within arba amos of them. Omer of Chizda, only if he could eat it in the time it takes a normal person to eat the pras. And the Mechas Chinuch says that we don't look at the amount of time it takes the child to eat a pras, we look at the amount of time the average adult takes. Omer of Chibere de Rav Yeba, ubegadol, when we're dealing with a grown person, we have to always distance ourselves from his waist. When a person has knowledge, when he has maturity, the pain, the tzoya is considered tzoya. And as the Aruch Lener explains, the Gemara says that the Eitz Hadas was chita, was grain. So we see that grain is connected to das. There's a machloikis Rashi and the Beis Yosef. What would be the halacha if you have a child that ate once grain, but he hasn't eaten grain in a while? So the waste that comes from his body is not with any grain. Will we have to be marked from that grain or not? From that waste or not? Rashi says we will not have to. The Beis Yosef says that once a child ate grain once, even if he did not eat grain recently, all the grain that comes from his body is all of the waste that comes from his body is considered soya, for which one must distance himself. If a child is old enough to eat a kezayis of roast meat, he could be part of the group for whom we shecht the Korban Pesach. Anybody could eat gets registered. And since this child could already eat, he's registered. He has to be old enough that he could discern what he's eating. If we give him a pebble, he throws it away. Egoist, but if we give him a nut, he takes it. That child is old. That child is considered old enough that he could be part of the group. Taisha says that certainly we cannot have a group just comprised of children. There's also machloikis, Tosfos and Rambam. It has to be a child, according to Tosfos, old enough to eat roast meat. According to Rambam, even if he's just old enough to eat boiled meat, it's already considered old enough. The Rabbi Yosher ben Salvechik explains what's the machloikis between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. It says Rabbi Yosher ben, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the child has to make a kinyan to be part of a group. So if he's yochel yivarech chaloi, that he knows the difference between what is good and what isn't good, that child is old enough to affect kinyonim. Tanakhama says, being part of a group of the Korban Pesach doesn't require a kinyon, and therefore any child is able to be part of that group. Hadron lachlu, if he's able to eat the meat. Hadron lachlu v'gozo, hadron lachlu v'gozo, hadron lachlu v'gozo. Lulu v'arova, the lulav and the arava, shishiva shiva. Sometimes it takes him 6 days, and sometimes it takes him 7 days. And as Fas Emes explains, the two halachas work in opposite directions. When the lulav is taken 7 days, the arava is taken 6 days, and vice versa. Halal v'asimcha, on Sukkos, we say halal, whole halal, for every one of the 8 days of Yontif, including Shemina Atzeres, Vasimcha, and the obligation to have Simcha is also for all 8 days. Rashi explains that saying Hallel is a Takonas Nevi'im. The Rambam, quoting Baal Hilchus Gedoilus, says that it's a Chiv Daraisa. The Rambam doesn't understand the Baal Hilchus Gedoilus, where does it come from in the Daraisa, but the Ramban defends the Baal Hilchus Gedoilus. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu was already Masakin that we should say Hallel. The Ramban even suggests that the Prokim, the chapters of Hallel, were composed by Moshe Rabbeinu. Simcha, Tosfos explains, refers to Karban Shlomim, and according to Tosfos' understanding, one should eat Karban Shlomim every day of Yontif. Tosfos points out that not every day could we necessarily bring Shlomim if it comes out on Shabbos. Tosfos says those days we will mekayim Simcha with other ways as the Gemara will identify. But every other day one has to eat Shlomim. Other Rishonim disagree. They say that we don't have to eat Shlomim every day. Just eating Shlomim once during the Yontif is enough. Sukkah, eating in the Sukkah. V'nisuch ha'mayim, on Sukkahs they used to pour water every morning when they brought the Karban Tamid. Shiva was for 7 days. Hachalil, they used to play the flute by the Simchas Beis Yisheva. Chamish v'shish, it's either 5 or 6 days, because it was never done on the first day of Yontif, and it was also never done on Shabbos. Lulav Shiva Ketzer, how is the Lulav brought for 7 days? Yontif Rishon Shechal is b'Shabbos. If the first day of Yontif is on Shabbos, Lulav Shiva, we will have to bring the lulav for 7 days. V'shar kol yomim, but if it comes out on any other day of the week, then shisha, the lulav is only taken for 6 days, for the chiv of taking the lulav does not override Shabbos if Shabbos is not the first day of Yontif. A rov shiva ketzet, in the Beis HaMikdash, we discussed and will discuss, they used to take a rov every day. How does it work? Yom Hashvi Shal Rav Shchal is b'Shabbos. If a Shana Rabba comes out on Shabbos, a Rav Shiva, then they took that Rav even on Shabbos. V'Shar Kol Yomim, but if it's not on Shabbos, Shisha, then that Rav was taken only 6 days. Again, it doesn't override Shabbos. Mitzvah Lulav Ketzat. If the first day is on Shabbos, what do they do? Yom Tov Rishon Shchal is b'Shabbos. If the first day came out Shabbos, so they weren't allowed to carry the lulavim on Shabbos to the Beis HaMikdash. The Rishonim point out that Yerushalayim was a Rishus HaRabim, so one wasn't allowed to carry. And even if Yerushalayim had a door which made it not into Rishus HaRabim, the Rishonim point out, given that it was Yontif and there were so many people there, the door was certainly open and it was Rishus HaRabim. So Melechnas Lulavim L'Harabais, they used to carry the lulavim to the Beis HaMikdash from before Shabbos. V'chazonim mekabelim hem, the attendants in the Beis HaMikdash would take those lulavim from them. V'sodrin sal gabei itzdaba, and put it on a bench for Shabbos. V'sakenim menichim eshelam belishka, the older people would leave it in a designated chamber because they didn't want to get hurt in the rush when everybody was picking up the lulav. V'melan meisaloyim, and the Bezdin would teach everybody to say, komish megil lulava b'yodoy harelu matana. Everybody, if I don't end up with my lulav, I'm receiving a matana. Everybody gives away their lulav and matana. L'machem, Ashkim, and Boim, on the following day, everybody got up early, went to the Beis HaMikdash. V'chazorim zorkin l'sfneyem, v'chazorim would throw the lulav into the people. V'mechatim u'makin ish chaveroi, and everybody would catch and start hitting each other. U'kshirah Bezdin shabal de sekara, once Bezdin saw that this was the situation, everybody should take the lulav at home, not in the Beis HaMikdash. Does machlokes v'chroinim what a home means? Does it mean actually in the home, or does it mean in the Beis HaKnesses, in their own neighborhoods?